friend of mine from school, and though I was a little bit older than he is and went through the program a little bit before him, but I really appreciate the Minnick family, and his brother was in school with me, and they just all, just the whole family just serving the Lord, and I'm just very confident in how the Lord is going to use them. And so the Minnicks are going to the Philippines. They've got a display in the back. We will have our regular evening service, and so they'll have an opportunity to, they'll preach to us this evening. We'll have an opportunity to give a love offering to them as well, as we normally do. And so I know that his wife, maybe Megan, is, they have a little one-year-old named Marcus, and they have five children, and they're able to arrive last night. So Brother Andrew is here. I think if he's ready, I'll turn it over to him to come and present his ministry to us in the Philippines.
Well, thank you for having us. This is really kind. Very, very kind of you all. Thank you. And you said about 45 minutes to fill? Okay, great. We could probably go for a couple of hours. But this is a picture of our family here. So we're the Minnicks going to the Philippines. We're really excited about that. The last couple of years, the Lord's really been teaching my heart about the theme of the Lord as our shepherd in Scripture and following Him in righteous paths. And I'll share more about that tonight. But that's been our desire, is just to follow the Lord wherever He leads. And right now that's to the Philippines. So the Lord is leading us to the ministry of Bob Jones Memorial Bible College. This is the school there. It's in Metro Manila, so very urban, kind of the concrete jungle. But we'll be involved in the ministry of training national church planters there at the school. What I'd like to do is start with a little video. It's about 5 minutes, and it just shows some of the history of the school and how the Lord's used it over the years. It'll introduce you to the ministry there and what the Lord's doing, and then I'll come back and share some more things after that. So we'll see if it'll play here.
In 1985, four missionaries started Bob Jones Memorial Bible Institute. They wanted a school for their church members that prioritized thorough theological education as well as fervent evangelism, a school that stood for biblical separation and holiness in every and a school that practiced fervent expository preaching and humble servant leadership. Bob Jones Sr. was an American evangelist in the early 1900s who preached the gospel to more than 15 million people by the time he was 40 years old and led tens of thousands of people to Jesus Christ. In 1927, he started a Christian college to help believers prepare for a lifetime of service for Christ. This twofold emphasis of thorough education and fervent evangelism is what the BJMBI founders wanted to imitate. The school started in Bicutan, in the home of the first director. After 2 years, it moved to Quiapo, Manila, squeezed amid several colleges and universities, many businesses, much traffic, and near the Quiapo Catholic Church. BJMBI was very small by comparison, but little is much when God is in it. The De Guzman family kindly allowed BJMBI to use its best classroom in GIT, Guzman Institute of Technology. And one day the Lord led Steve Lawhoff, BJMBI's third director, to notice a small ad in the Manila Bulletin newspaper. The ad only said something like, "School front space for rent." And when he called the phone number, he discovered that the space was directly across the street from GIT. God had provided a place for BJMBI's office and library right across the street from its classroom. In 1992, a fire destroyed the six-story GIT building, including BJMBI's piano and hymn books that were in the classroom. The heat of the fire was so intense that it bubbled the paint on the door of BJMBI's office and library. But the hundreds of library books and office records were all preserved. In 1997, Gospel Fellowship Association gave money to Gospelite Baptist Church in Quezon City so that BGMBI could move to a floor in the church's new building for the next 20 years. This enabled BGMBI to have more than 2 and 3 times the space that it had ever had, and it paved the way for BGMBI to expand. In 1996, the school began a graduate seminary offering master's degrees in Bible. In 2002, Doug and Ruth Backerick arrived to start a music department. In 2004, BGMBI was renamed Bob Jones Memorial Bible College, and later that year, Phil Kamibayashiyama became the new director. In 2005, Dr. Tim Berry joined BGMBC as the Director of Graduate Studies. During those 20-plus years at Gospelite, God also brought several other teachers to BGMBC to help expand both the Bible department and music department, including Pastor Abit Chanko, who now leads the Bible department, and Miss Rachel Steffensmeyer, who now leads the music department. In 2010, the Lord provided a first for BGMBC, its own property on which to build its own building. Through the next 9+ years, God worked in the hearts of many believers and churches, both in the Philippines and abroad, to give tens of millions of pesos for BGMBC to have its own building. In 2019, just 4 days before the school year began, BGMBC finally received its occupancy permit and inaugurated the building with a Fundamental Baptist Bible Conference. God has used BGMBC's conferences and concerts, its materials and music, its teaching and preaching. But BGMBC's main resource is its faculty, staff, students, and graduates, whom the Lord has used in provinces throughout the Philippines and in countries all over Asia and the world. The Lord is continuing to use this ministry training institution, established to train Christ-like servants for the Great Commission. And the key has always been the Spirit of God, depending upon God and obeying God. For whatever we have, big or small, it can be multiplied much greater than it ever was. Truly little is much when God is in it.
So that's just a little bit about the ministry and how it came to be and what the Lord's done over the years. I'll take a second and just introduce my family, if that's okay. This is our oldest, Seth. He's 10. He's kind of the intellectual of the family. It's a toss-up between being a quarterback at Clemson or being a cryptologist. As far as his career goes, he's really debating that right now. Micaiah is 7, and he's the kind to climb up everything and fall off and break his collarbone and that sort of thing. Levi's 4. He's a really special addition to our family. Allie's the only girl, so she gets 2 pictures, and you can see she's always up to something. We call her our pumpkin pie with pizzazz, but she's a special part of the family. Marcus is just a little over 1, so he was born last year, and he's actually, I didn't think about this until now, but he's probably lived more time in the Philippines than he has in the U.S., so he has that special distinction. Of course, the real star of the show is my wife, Megan. She grew up in South Dakota. Can you imagine packing up a family of 5 and going halfway around the world, schooling and clothes and just making life work for a family in another country? She's really been a trooper in that sense. Her parents are pastor of a church in South Dakota, very faithfully over many years. We were actually just there this past week with them, spending some time visiting, but they're wonderful folks. This is me on the front row in the white shirt many, many years ago, obviously, but I grew up as a missionary kid in Australia, so my parents went there before I was born. That's home. That's where I consider myself Australian, but a very small church, and so in high school I had a lot of opportunity to preach and teach and declare God's word, and so the Lord used that to really put on my heart a burden, and then later really a constraint for gospel ministry. And so I surrendered to that when I was in high school. So I came to Bob Jones in Greenville, 2007, to prepare for the ministry. and very, very thankful for the training there and what the Lord's given to me. But in 2010, in my second year, I went on a mission trip to Southeast Asia. This is in Mindanao, in the south of the Philippines. And so I spent some time traveling through. We went to Singapore, had preaching opportunities there. We went up to Myanmar. This is at the Shwe Dagon Pagoda there. We went down through Thailand, over to Cambodia and Vietnam, teaching and preaching in Bible colleges and churches. We went to the south of the Philippines, to Mindanao. We got to preach there. But really the highlight was going to Manila at the end of the trip. And when we got to Manila, we visited Bob Jones Memorial Bible College, the school that we're going to work at. And when I saw that school, I was really just struck with how strategic the ministry is there. The Philippines, for hundreds of years, was a Spanish colony. And so you can probably guess the Spaniards brought in Catholicism. So everyone in the Philippines practically is Catholic. But back about 125 years ago, right at the turn of the century, the U.S. defeated the Spanish in Manila Bay in the Spanish-American War. And so they came to President McKinley and they said, guess what? We just defeated the Spanish. What do you want to do with the Philippines? And President McKinley reportedly said, well, can someone get me a map and show me where the Philippines is? Because he didn't even know where this country was. That's how ignorant he was about them. But he decided that he would keep the Philippines as a U.S. colony. And he did that for several reasons. One is he knew they weren't ready for self-government. The Spanish would just take back over. But the other was he wanted Protestant evangelical missionaries to be able to take the gospel in. So this is about 125 years ago. The President of the United States is deciding that this country will be open for the gospel. Isn't that amazing? And so the Lord has worked there in many, many amazing ways since. When the country opened up, all of the denominations decided that they were going to do something very unusual. They were all going to work together. And so they got together and they decided that this part of the Philippines, the Methodists would evangelize, and this part, the Presbyterians, and this part, the Baptists. Manila was kind of an open city, fair game for everybody. But they decided that they would take parts of the Philippines, and the idea was we can evangelize faster if we do it that way, sort of like Nehemiah's wall approach. So they went in and they evangelized. And so for the last 120, 125 years, there's been a lot of evangelical influence on the Philippines. And for that reason, they are the one Asian country that would call itself Christian. So they've had a lot of gospel influence. And for that reason, what I saw were Filipino missionaries reaching the rest of Southeast Asia. Everywhere I went, there were Filipino missionaries reaching these other countries. They make excellent missionaries. They're used to hardship. They get along well with people. Everyone loves Filipinos, right? Someone once said that the Philippines' best export is people. So they're all over in Southeast Asia, and they're reaching these other countries. So I'm seeing all of this really exciting growth there in Southeast Asia, and I'm asking myself, where do Americans fit in? You know, what can we do? How can we contribute? What's our part? And what I was seeing there is that what they really need there is depth of theological teaching. Really exciting growth, a lot of the times, can be kind of a mile wide and an inch deep in terms of relationship with the Scriptures. And here in the U.S., we have a whole repository of theological training. You know, many years of colleges and seminaries and careful study of the Scriptures, commentaries being written, and we can take that and we can invest that in national men who then will go out and reach their own people and reach these other countries as well. And they're far better church planners than we are anyway, right? You know, they know their own people, they know their culture. And so I'm looking at all this in 2010, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe one day I'll come back and work at this school. That was 14 years ago. Just amazing the way that the Lord works. So I came back to the U.S. and enrolled in the PhD program. I was really thankful to finish that. I felt like in that program, I got to just kind of skim the cream off of all of that theological knowledge that we have here in the U.S. Pastor went through the same program. Just really a blessing. Very thankful for that. And I had the privilege there to teach for about 8 years at BJ, teaching Greek courses. The Lord led us to Canada for about 6 months in 2023 to teach at a Bible college there as well. And then for the last 6 months, we were in Manila at Bob Jones Memorial Bible College, teaching there and serving the Lord, and really just loved being there. What I'd like to do is share another video, if that's okay. I took a couple of the students, and I sat them down in front of a camera, and I said, you tell me what BGMBC has meant to you. What's it done in your life? And so I've got a couple of testimonies to share of that, and hopefully that'll be a blessing here.
Hello, I am Giancarlo Tejado, and I came from Leyte, province of Leyte, Philippines. I thank God that He allowed me to study here in Bob Jones Memorial Bible College, because here I have learned how to study the Word of God according to its context and according to its grammar. And I've learned also here that the Word of God is the speech of God to mankind, and we should give utmost importance and respect to it as I study, because God called me to teach His Word to other people. And before I came here, I thought I knew how to study the Word of God and how to preach it to other people. So in our province, I even started to preach a lot of times, but according to God's providence and sovereignty, He brought me here. Even I am still 1 year here, I have learned how to study it according to its context, according to its grammar, and now I realize that I have a lot of preaching before that is out of context. So that's what really I'm thankful for, studying here, giving the right attitude to the Word of God and studying it properly so that I could be able to rightly divide the Word of God to His people.
Hi, I'm Heavenly Pagadut, and I'm from Ifugao. And it's such a blessing to be here and be a student of BJMBC. First of all, it was not my plan to come and study here, but it's amazing how God works in different ways to lead me here. So when I came here, what I had in my mind is just to study music for the ministry of our church. But then when I came here, God worked in my heart and changed what's in my heart. He used those Bible subjects to mold me and help me with the ministry. He made me realize that the important thing is to study more about Him. So He used those Bible subjects to really make me realize that our priority in life is to know Him and to pursue Him in our life. So it was very humbling to learn more and more about Christ, about the ministry, and also the people here at BJMBC. Their testimonies are really reflecting Christ-likeness. I saw that they are living what they are teaching, and that's really a blessing for me.
So that just kind of introduces you a little bit to a couple of the students there. The one girl on the right there is the one sharing in the testimony. I think she illustrates one type of student that's there, someone who knows the gospel. They've grown up maybe even in a Christian church, but they don't really know a whole lot about the scriptures. Some of these students are coming like from Myanmar. They're believers, they know the gospel, but not a whole lot beyond that. And it's just exciting to see them figuring out how to read and study God's word for the first time. This is a picture I took there in the classroom. I gave them a theological problem, and I said, now you go find the answer. So they're debating and searching the scriptures, you know. But I put this picture in because on the front row, you can see there, this girl here and this girl here are from China, they're studying God's word. And I would have them write essays on their quizzes so that I could gauge what they're learning. And they were articulating theological truth just at a really high level. It was so exciting to see that happen. They're thinking about things that they've never thought about before or confronted. This girl here is from Myanmar, just from way up in the hills, like out in the middle of nowhere. And she's there, and you know, they sit on the front row, and they just kind of stare at you and just drink in everything. Such a joy to teach and to see them really growing in the Lord. But another type of student is the young man that was in the video there. And these would be men who are studying for the ministry. So you can see him there in the kind of the maroon shirt in the back. Just a quick story about that guy. I preached in chapel there at the school. And afterwards, he came up to me and he said, "How did you do that?" Because he had seen that the sermon came straight out of the scriptures, that it was just telling what God had said in the scriptures. You know, expository preaching. We're very used to that, but he was not. And he thought, I want to know how to do that. So we got together, we took a passage of scripture, we studied it, we kind of worked out a sermon from that. And at the end, I asked him, "What do you think?" And he said, "I'm just amazed." Like, it had just blown all his fuses. This concept that you just preach what God said. And I thought that's so exciting. You know, what will that mean for that guy, for the rest of his ministry, for the rest of his life, the churches that he'll pastor, the people that he'll preach to? You know, understanding that concept and seeing how to do it. This is what they really need there in a lot of cases, in a lot of churches. So just really exciting things that the Lord is doing there. In fact, he sent me this picture last week where he's back in his village now, and this is an evangelistic Bible study where he's sharing the gospel with people and trying to reach people to Christ. And the goal is that he'll actually be the next pastor of the church there, back in his area. One of the things that I really, kind of a core conviction, is that you can't just teach people in the classroom. You've got to be discipling them outside of the classroom as well. And so we spend a lot of time like this, just one-on-one and one-on-two. These guys here, the one on the right in the yellowish shirt, he's very burdened for the country of Japan. He visited there. He realized how dark that place is. And that's his goal, is maybe to be there one day and take the gospel to those people. The guy on the left in the darker shirt, he's from Palawan, another island there in the Philippines. And he's graduated now this past May, and he's back in his island, and he's going to be pastoring there. And he just texted me the other day, and he said, "Pray for me because I'm getting ready to propose to my girlfriend." So I think he's a little nervous about that. But he's working on getting married, and it's just exciting to see what the Lord's doing in and through these guys. Megan had a great opportunity to connect with some of the ladies there in the school as well. Again, this is the same girl from Myanmar that I pointed out before. And she got to be really good friends with our kids and that kind of thing. We tried to get our kids involved in the ministry as well. You know, you can imagine little light-haired kids running around in the Philippines. They attract quite a bit of attention. And so everywhere we'd go, people would, you know, try to talk to them or, you know, wave at them or things like that. And they're learning Tagalog, so you can imagine when these people would talk to them, they would answer in Tagalog and, you know, just kind of blow the people's happiness fuses, you know, because there's these little American kids talking our language. And so the kids would take bags of tracts and hand them out and, you know, share the gospel in that way, trying to get them involved. This is another student there. His name is Joel. He was about 20 years old. He got invited to church. And for about 9 years, he was attending, and he finally realized, you know, I've never actually come to Christ. So he turned to Christ. And now he's about 30 years old. He's studying for the ministry there. But he said to me, he said, "I was afraid of the Old Testament. I never wanted to read it because I didn't know what to do with it." But then he took a class on Old Testament this past semester. And he said, "Now I understand it. And more than that, I took what you taught in class and I shared it with my people this past week in church." I thought, that's great. That's really exciting. This brother here, his name's Clarence. Quick story about his pastor. His pastor is from another island. The school is on the main island. His pastor's from another island. So his pastor came many years ago to the main island to study for the ministry at BGMBC. So he studied, finished, graduated, and then he became an assistant pastor there on the main island in a church. But he was burdened for his island where he was from. And so he left that church where he was serving, and he went back to his island to try to evangelize the people there. Well, he was there for 7 years, and like nothing happened. You know, he called up the pastor on the main island that he was serving with, and he said, "I'm so discouraged because nothing's happening. No one's coming to Christ. There's no church. You know, on Sunday morning, I take the offering from my family, and then we sing the special music. Like, there's nothing happening here." And so his pastor back on the main island said, "Well, you're welcome to come back. There's ministry here. Well, you know, you can serve here again." So this man thought, "Okay, that's what I'll do. I'll go back to the main island." So he started packing his things the night before he was supposed to leave. He's packing his final things, and he thinks to himself, "I can't do this. I can't get on that boat tomorrow. The Lord called me here. I've got to be faithful." And so he stayed. And the next year, it was like the dam broke. People started coming to Christ. Church was formed. He stayed and was faithful, and the Lord really honored that. Well, you fast forward about 10 years, a lady from that church invites Clarence to come to church. Now, Clarence is a Catholic, and he's a really good Catholic. He lives in the Catholic church with the Catholic priest as his assistant. And so he thinks, "Okay, I'll go to this Baptist church. I'm going to show these Baptists how righteous us Catholics can be." And so he shows up at the church to, you know, to show off his righteousness. And the pastor starts preaching, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And he realizes, "I'm a sinner." And he comes to Christ. And then he comes to BGMBC to study for the ministry, a second generation of preachers. And he was telling me back on his island, where his pastor went, he said there's 11, I don't have 11 fingers, but there's 11 churches. And he said there's 11 cities. Four of them have a gospel preaching church. The other seven don't. And he said, "That's my goal, is to see a church planted in those other seven, basically unreached people." And so he's actually back on his island this summer, and he just texted me the other day that he started a Bible study in two of those other cities, and he's working towards a church plant there. So just really exciting stuff what the Lord's doing. To me, the most amazing thing with the graduates of the school, just meeting them and hearing the stories of how the Lord's using them. This man here was a member of the very first graduating class in 1989, and he was pastoring in another island. Then he came back, and he's pastoring there right down the street from the school. And so we ended up attending his church while we were there. He was our pastor for 6 months. And just to hear his preaching, just careful expository preaching, carefully handling God's word, what a joy to see that. This is another brother. When he was in his second year at BGMBC, so he's a sophomore, and he thinks, "I want to plant a church." So he goes out and he starts planting this church, and all these years later, he's still pastoring that church. And the Lord's grown it. It's, I don't know, maybe 60 or 100 people now. But there's a problem. In the church bylaws, it says that you can't be a pastor, you have to resign when you reach 60 years of age. The pastor isn't allowed to be the pastor after he's 60. Now he's 51, so that gives him 9 more years of pastoring at the church. So what are they going to do? Well, his son on the back left there just finished studying at BGMBC for the ministry, and the plan is that he'll be the next pastor there, a second generation leading that church. These are some brothers here reaching the southern island in the Philippines. It's largely Muslim. You wouldn't think about an island in the Philippines being Muslim, but it's largely Muslim, and they're reaching that island for Christ. This brother here is going to Malaysia as a missionary. This family's going to Norway, of all places, as missionaries. You know, you walk into these churches, and you look at their missionary wall, and you realize they've sent as many missionaries as any U.S. church. It's just really exciting that they're reaching out to other countries like this. This is a table at BGMBC, where they have them prepare these missions tables, where they research a country and things like that. And the goal is that the students would lift up their eyes and look on the fields and think about not just the Philippines, but really all of Southeast Asia and these other countries. This brother here, he's a graduate of BGMBC, and they just started a mission board. He's the first leader of the mission board. Filipino mission board to send out Filipino missionaries to Southeast Asia. I thought that's really exciting. I've got to put that picture in there. This brother here, he's from Papua New Guinea. He's like up in the middle of nowhere. And he's taking classes online from BGMBC. They did a conference there at BGMBC on how to share the gospel. And so he thinks to himself, well, I'm going to do that. So he holds a youth conference. He just invites all these teens to come, and he just shares with them what he just learned from BGMBC online. And six young people come to Christ through that. Just the Lord working in great ways there. This brother here is from China. He was in some of my classes, and he came to me and he said, I'm realizing that even the pastors in China don't have a whole lot of theological education. They don't really, you know, they've never been to Bible college. There's the government oppression just doesn't allow for that. And so he's got a vision to go back and take to the pastors there the things that he's learned and to spread that to them. This is the last picture that I'll show. This brother, he's in a church there in Manila. He's a Filipino. And I preached there in the church about being laborers in the harvest. Actually, the message I'll preach tonight. And the Lord really got a hold of his heart. And he realized, I can be a laborer in the harvest. And so he's sharing this testimony with me. It's just exciting to see. But I put this picture in because he said to me, he said, when you go back to America, he said, show them my picture and tell them that I said that there are souls waiting in the Philippines. So that's his message to everyone here. And he was, you know, using that in the context of encouraging people to support us, obviously. But I thought maybe I would just use that to challenge the young people here. You know, I see a lot of young people, a lot of just exciting potential for the kingdom of Christ. Think about it, young people, there are souls waiting. There are people in the Philippines that haven't heard of Christ, and other countries as well. And you could go and tell them. You know, there's no greater privilege than that you could take the gospel somewhere that it's never been. So think about that. That's just a really quick whirlwind tour of our time there and what the Lord's done. Just really exciting what the Lord's doing. But I would leave you with the challenge this morning, if you'll take up the challenge to pray for us, and that the Lord would speed us on our way. If you stop by the table in the back and pick up a prayer card, or our kids are handing them out as well, if you flip it over, on the back is a QR code. Now, I don't know if you're good with QR codes or not. It's really simple. You flip that card over, open up the camera app on your phone, and point it at the QR code. Like you're going to take a picture, don't take a picture, just point it. And at the bottom, the little yellow button will show up. And if you click on that little yellow button, it will take you to the latest prayer letter that we've had. So pick up a prayer card, go home, decorate your refrigerator with it, and then 2 years from now, you look at that and you think, I'm going to pray for the Minix. So pull that card off, turn it over, point your camera, click the button, and you'll be able to see the latest prayer requests and the way that the Lord is working there. So we would really covet your prayers, that the Lord would really send us on our way. The most current need to pray for, obviously, is that the Lord would provide our support and send us out. The school recently had three of their faculty come to other ministries, the home office of the mission and things like that. And so that left a big hole there in the ministry. And then actually a fourth member of the faculty, the Lord took him home to glory last year. He went in for a heart operation and the Lord took him home. So they really need help. And the director of the school, he said it would be really great if you're back here by 2025, like raise all your support and be back in a year. Now that doesn't happen. You know, it just doesn't happen unless the Lord really does something special. And so that would be the biggest prayer request that we would leave with you, that the Lord would work and that he would send us back very quickly to be able to fill the need there. But thank you for having us. It's been a blessing already to be here. And thank you, Pastor, for the very kind invitation. We look forward to getting to know you all and shaking hands and making friends. That's one of the blessings of deputation is meeting people and just seeing what the Lord's doing in churches all over the U.S. So thank you. Thank you for having us. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So Pastor was asking about maybe taking questions if anyone has a question. Yes, go ahead, brother. The way that it works in the Philippines, so the question was, are we going to learn other dialects? Most people speak Tagalog as kind of the common language throughout the Philippines. The school, the ministry is all in English. And the reason for that is that probably 20% of the student body is from other countries, China, Myanmar, Thailand, you know, these other countries. So, you know, I can't learn like all these languages in one semester. So everything in the school is in English for that reason. But once you get outside of the classroom and you start talking with Filipinos, you can communicate in English with them. Most are somewhat bilingual. But to really effectively minister, you have to know Tagalog. That's their heart language. They struggle to listen to preaching in English for long periods of time. So the short answer is we'll learn Tagalog. That will be a focus of our time there in the first year. And that should be sufficient to talk to most people in the Philippines. Very good question. That's actually a huge prayer request. We're studying Tagalog right now, and it's not an easy language. So we're right in the throes of trying to figure all that out. Yeah, good. Any other questions? What else? What else are you all wondering about? Maybe some of the kids have a question or something they're thinking about. Maybe. Go ahead. Yes. Yeah. Very good question. For the first 6 months, we raised like one-time type gifts from churches and people. And some of that was ongoing. So that would probably be about 10% of what we would need. So we actually just started deputation last week. You all are our second church that we've officially presented at. So thank you for being somewhat guinea pigs. We're starting out. You know, most people probably start at zero. We're starting at 10%, so we feel very blessed in that respect. Yeah, thank you. Good. Any other questions? Yes, go ahead. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I grew up in a Christian home, and so I knew the gospel. But when I was 4 years old, my older brother, he had just been saved himself, so he's trying to evangelize his brother. You know, you need to be saved. So I went and spoke with my mother. And I don't remember a whole lot about that day. I distinctly remember being in tears and praying. Whether or not I completely understood the gospel, the Lord knows. But if I didn't that day, at some point along the line, I came to a full understanding. And you know, my faith today is completely in Christ. Megan seven years old, something like that. So she was in a class at school, and they asked, you know, does anyone want to give Jesus the key to your heart? Something very generic like that. And she said, oh, sure. So she put her hand up. And then later realized maybe I didn't completely understand what the gospel was all about. And so later then she prayed with her mother, and we were both baptized after that. So, yeah, thank you. What else? Any other questions? Yes, go ahead. Yes, very good question. He's asking about the visas. As I understand it, permanent residency is not an option for us. So we would end up on a missionary visa that we would extend periodically. And that's pretty much a given that you'll be able to get that. The Philippines is very friendly to Americans. They want as many Americans as possible. And they love Americans. And they love missions. They love people coming in and doing what we're doing. I was thinking about this the other day. So many missionaries throughout church history, they show up on their mission field and people throw spears at them. You know, and we come to the Philippines and they're just so glad we're there. you know, we have it so easy compared to so many generations. But hopefully that answers your question there. Good. Yes, go ahead. Yeah, Filipinos are very conscious of that. So I was preaching a message on trusting the Lord, and I shared trusting the Lord regarding the Chinese, and you could see on everybody's faces that I'd made an application that really hit home. You know, they'll talk about this after church. You know, what are the Chinese going to do? And you know, it's a matter of fear there. Almost every day, Filipino headlines have something about some encounter with the Chinese. My thought is that my perception of it is that the Filipinos would be maintaining something of aggression, but not going to the point of causing a conflict. What the Chinese will do, who knows? You know, I really doubt that they would do something aggressive towards the Philippines because of U.S. backing and things like that. But the short answer to your question is yes, everyone's thinking about that in the Philippines. Yeah.
Location compared to Taiwan,
uh-huh.
How much distance is in the Philippines?
Yeah. I mean, if I was China, I would attack Taiwan first. And I think that's what most people think, you know. So we were actually talking with a Filipino missionary to Taiwan about the situation, and they're taking measures to prepare for when China does something. That's how, you know, now how realistic that is, I'm not sure. But if something happened, that would be probably where it would happen rather than the Philippines. Yeah, I mean, it's all in the Lord's hands. No one knows, but yeah. Very good. Any other questions? Maybe have time for one more. Yes, go ahead, brother. Yeah. I was talking with a missionary in China, and he's there largely in the capacity that we'll be in the Philippines to support churches and training pastors and that kind of thing. And he said COVID allowed the Chinese to get really good at tracking people. So they know where everyone is at any moment. And he said they know exactly what we're doing. They know why we're here. They know every move we make. And his read was it's a matter of time before we're asked to leave, you know. The young man that I showed in the presentation, Asaph, his grandfather had a small school for training pastors. The government came in and shut it down. And so he actually got really discouraged over that. He thought, why go back to China? I'll go to Israel or somewhere else and serve the Lord. So I talked with him about maybe finding a neutral third country where the pastors can come and he can meet them and train them. You know, and his face lit up because now he had a vision again for something that could be done. But having lived there, that was his idea was, you know, if I go back, I won't be able to do hardly anything is the level of oppression there. You know, and what that directly translates into is just very shallow theological knowledge or relationship with the scriptures. So the director of the school actually, he was talking with me. He said, I've noticed whenever we have students come from China, they're believers, but they know almost nothing about the Christian life. And so he picked out, changed into his image by Jim Berg and said, I'm going to make this required reading for every student from China so that they understand the Christian life. You know, that's kind of the level that he's seeing them coming out of churches at, as a direct result of the government just shutting things down. Yeah, it's actually a prayer request. They changed some law where it may preclude Chinese students from coming and studying in the Philippines, and they're trying to research right now a way to get around that. But that could be the reality this fall that Asaph won't be back. You know. That's just kind of how it weathered out. Yeah. I think I saw one more hand back there. Go ahead. Yeah. The focus of our ministry will be in the school training nationals. That's kind of a core conviction that we've come to, is that that is the most strategic way to work there at this time. Not that someone who goes to plant a church is unstrategic, but given the needs of the school, that's where the Lord's led us. I would also love to pastor at some point a church there. All of the other Bible faculty there at the school do pastor and teach. And that's strategic because you have the men in your classroom Monday through Friday, and then on Sunday they're ministering alongside you at the church. So in these churches, like Pastor Castillo's church, 80% of the Sunday evenings, one of the students is preaching. They lead the singing. They do everything. Sometimes the pastor shows up late because, you know, in the Philippines, people show up late, and the students are running the service, you know. And so I would love the pastor to be able to have that opportunity to really mentor in a church setting. But language acquisition is the first goal. Obviously, pastoring can't come until that's in place. So it would be maybe several years down the road. Very good question. Okay. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you very much.
I can't help but notice that we are seeing in two separate weeks the different spectrums of the missionary cycle. If you're going to go to a place that knows, I mean, you're going to go into a tribe that's never heard the gospel, you've got to introduce yourself, you've got to build relationships, you've got to meet people, share the gospel, and you want to establish churches. And yet there is an aspect to which, where we've seen missions take place for many years in different places where evangelism is taking place, churches are being established, and yet they can be furthered by helping to reach those key men in that that are saved, that are the pastors who have been leading churches, but sharpening their tools and making them more effective and for a greater blessing. So that's my heart is definitely in that type of ministry. That's what I trained for when I went to Bob Jones, and I hung on it, forever there. But that was the goal, was to sharpen myself so that I might be able to go and train pastors. And I get to do that in a limited sense by training young men, by teaching at IBCS and in Arizona, and do some of that a little bit on the side. But that is a great burden, and really, really excited about the ministry there. And definitely have heard about this school for a long time in terms of how the Lord's using it and the conservative values. They're just producing all kinds of good Christian conservative music out of that school. It's just in terms of like a hub of Asia for what the Lord has done there. So it's really, really exciting, and glad you guys got to be introduced to that ministry through the Minix, and glad that they're going. And the Lord's raised them up and called them to do this. And so just praise the Lord for them and answering that call. And so we'll close our Sunday school with a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed for our morning worship service.